AI is definitely affecting freelance jobs, the chip that uses light instead of electricity, and my massive change of opinion on the Sora text-to-video. This is AI for Everyone, a weekly roundup of the most interesting stories in AI and tech for non-tech people who like to keep themselves informed and educated about the latest developments from around the world. I'm Miles Dillon, and I believe that AI is going to have a positive impact on our lives, but those people who continually learn and adapt to the changes it brings will be the ones who benefit the most. Let's get into it for this week. AI is definitely impacting jobs, and the jobs that is impacting most at the moment is in the freelance world. And the way that we're able to measure this is from a publication called Bloomsbury. They analyze labor market trends. Now, what they've done is they've looked at the website Upwork, and they looked at 5 million jobs across the 12 most popular job categories on the freelancing website. This website, basically, if you need someone to do a job for you, like a small writing job or an editing job, or you need someone to do some design work, you can hire someone for an hour or for a day or one particular project. So there's freelancers all over the world that you can sign up onto Upwork, and you can put your skills on there and people will hire you. So on the Upwork site, they looked at 12 different job categories, and the jobs that have been most affected by AI, they're saying over the last year, and they can look at the number of people hired last year compared to the number of people this year, they've seen a 33% decline in writing jobs. Now, this is all types of writing. Could be anything from like copying up your speeches to writing a book for you or writing an essay for you or writing up content for your website. Anything in the writing category has seen a 33% decline, and that's the biggest drop out of all the other sectors. The other two sectors are translation, has seen a 19% drop, and customer service jobs has seen a 16% decline. So that's things like hiring a PA or an executive assistant for a week or for particular tasks. That would be customer service jobs. Both roles, they're like a major target for generative AI. Translation jobs also saw a 20% drop in the hourly rate which they're being paid compared to last year. And that kind of makes sense because they're the things that large language models like ChatGPT can do really easily now. I can see those jobs being very, very difficult to do. Translation, writing, and sort of some customer service jobs that where you're sort of doing things on email for people. Those kind of jobs are really going to be impacted by it. But this is quite interesting. There's also been a 2,000% uptick in AI-related jobs over the last 2 years. So that's quite a huge difference. So overall, they're saying in Bloomsbury that there have been more jobs created so far. I don't know how they measure that, but it seems like in the other 12 categories, apart from those four, there hasn't been a massive impact on those jobs so far. So things like video editing, image editing, sales, there's actually been an increase in those jobs on Upwork since last year. Pen engineers have made a microchip that uses light instead of electricity to do the really hard maths that's important for teaching computers to think like humans or AI. This chip could make computers way faster and use way less energy. And why is this important? It's important because recently, this is a couple of news stories in one, SoftBank, they're an investment firm and investment bank, are looking to invest $100 billion in chip development, and they're not really in the chip space at all yet. Sam Altman, at the same time in the last week, has been going around trying to raise $7 trillion. I don't even know how much that is. It's so much, it's incomprehensible. And that is for OpenAI or Sam Altman to start a new firm that will be manufacturing microchips, starting from scratch. The other thing that's been going on in the news this week in the chip area is NVIDIA. If you haven't heard about this and you're into finance, I don't know where you've been, but NVIDIA became the third largest company in the USA yesterday. The company posted a record quarterly revenue increase of 265%. That is completely unheard of. A $1.5 trillion company, the third largest company in the US, posting a 265% increase in revenue. I mean, it's just crazy. Imagine if Apple sold 265% more iPhones or more product. That would be a massive bump. It just never happens. And this is all down to their chip sales off the back of the AI boom that's happened over the last year. And it really, really is going to another level. So you can see why Sam Altman is thinking, right, I need to jump in on this chip thing. And why SoftBank is saying, I need to jump on this chip thing and raise money for, you know, building these new factories. But this microchip that Penn have designed could actually really, really reduce the cost of these microchips that are so needed for artificial intelligence processing. And also it could use way, way less energy. The chip is called a silicon photonic chip. And it's special because it mixes together smart ideas from these two professors called Nagdar. Oh man, I ain't gonna say these guys' names. Two guys whose names I can't pronounce. And they figured out how to use light to do the math on tiny scales, which is faster than electricity doing the computations as well. So, you know, I'm not even going to be able to explain how these chips work. If you would like to find out about microchips, I'm sure there's a really great video on YouTube telling you how they work. But all you need to know is that electricity is like running down these chips in tiny, tiny, tiny spaces. But the electricity isn't as fast as light. And this light could actually be going much, much faster. The other advantage of that is it's much more difficult to hack into the computers that are using these microchips to have light in them, because it's not possible to like gain access into the code which is happening inside there. And why does it matter? It also matters because of how energy hungry these AI systems are. I mean, there was one of those stats going around that was saying that ChatGPT uses the same energy as the Netherlands per month or something at the moment. But this, they're saying that this could reduce the amount of energy usage in a chip by 74%. Now, that's definitely going to have a big impact on cost as well. You're not going to have to spend so much money on running it, so these companies can make even bigger percentage increase in their quarterly turnover. But also, it keeps everybody happy because we're not burning as much electricity and destroying the planet. Okay, last week, you heard me talking about Sora, which is OpenAI's text-to-video creation, which is unbelievable. It's mind-blowing. You cannot believe that these things are made by AI. They look like they've been filmed by high-level video photography videographers. If you haven't listened to that episode, I'm not going to go into too much, so please go back and listen to last week's episode. But this week, think about that video. What I didn't mention is there's no sound to any of those videos. But 11 Labs, the guys who do the voice cloning, they have created sound to some of the videos that Sora have made. So I'm just going to play you some of that sound right now.
In a place beyond imagination, where the horizon kisses the heavens, one man dares to journey where few have ventured. Armed with nothing but his wit and an unyielding spirit, he seeks the answers to mysteries that lie beyond the stars.
And I think that makes the point quite well. All of those sounds that you heard, if you watch the video, go perfectly with this video that had no sound before. Even that voiceover was totally created by an AI, and that's just by doing a text input. So I think there's one with some dogs. They would have typed in small puppies playing, older dog barking in the background, a woman walking through a busy Tokyo cityscape, and then a man on the moon looking around in a dystopian world in space. And then that voiceover would have been generated using the image to dictate it or to direct the AI. That kind of made me think, whoa, this is crazy that they could make an entire film without even needing any people. And I just started feeling like, man, this is actually starting to go in quite a wild direction. And then I saw a few people on the internet talking about some of the stuff that it could be used for. I'll just play you this clip for a second.
I am losing my mind thinking about how many women's lives are going to be ruined over this AI video bullshit. Don't tell me I'm wrong. Don't tell me it's not going to be used for what we all know it's going to be used for. Because it already happens. And now we're just going to add video to this. Nothing good that could be created with this justifies the evil that will be done with it. Like, literally my first thought when I started seeing these videos was like, I need to delete my social media. Like, this is not safe. This is not the only thing that this is going to be used for evil. Like, the political corruption,
I mean, that does lead quite nicely into the political thing, but let's just pause on that. She's called Kate Rooker, and I got that from TikTok. She is a TikToker, loads of followers. And what she's talking about is obviously sexual exploitation. I just thought, how are we going to affect this? And my opinion has been always, I think people would describe me as a techno-optimist. Technology is going to solve all the world's problems. But this seems to be like one of the technologies that I'm starting to feel not as optimistic about. Even though some of the other episodes you may have listened to, I'm feeling super optimistic. This is so great. It's amazing. But now I'm starting to feel like, well, this really needs to get some regulation in place. Because then when we start looking at some of the political implications of this, if this gets into the, well, it's not even get into the hands of people. It already is in the hands of everybody who has access to this. We are not even going to know who to fight. because they're going to be able to take images. And it's not a kind of conspiracy theory to say governments around the world throughout the last couple of hundred years love a bit of propaganda and controlling their populations. That happens, right? It's not even a conspiracy theory. And if they can use this video to say, look what these people have done to us, look what those people have done to us, they drop bombs here, and they can just change the area where the bombs have been dropped and make it look like it's been dropped on their place. And the next step is, or a policeman knocks on your door and says, sir, you're under arrest for physical assault, sexual assault and battery. And you're like, whoa, and you just get arrested and taken off because someone's got a bit of a vendetta against you. What use is CCTV in a courtroom anymore, in a legal trial? Because if they take you to the police and they show you some evidence and they create a video of you doing something horrific and it's clearly you, it looks like you, it sounds like you, you're doing it to someone who says that you did it to them, how can you defend yourself against that anymore? I think very, very soon, CCTV and video images, even pictures, how are we going to even use that in the courtroom anymore? I would love, if you were a lawyer and you work in criminal law, to get in touch and let me know, because I'd love to have a chat with someone about this, because I personally, and I haven't heard anyone else say this, I can just not foresee how that can be used in the courtroom anymore when it's so easy to create these videos and these images and to incriminate other people, let alone, like, you know, I haven't even really jumped into that whole world political stuff. It is really crazy. So you can tell I'm a little bit like concerned about this. And it's the first time I've really thought about it. And my opinion has really switched since I talked about it last week, because I've spent some more time researching it and looking into it. I think that this kind of video, text to video, audio to text to audio stuff needs to be regulated somehow. And I don't have the answer to that, but we really need to start thinking about it. Hey everyone, sorry, that's quite a depressing end to that podcast, or a little bit of a negative vibe to it, but I do think it's important to talk about. Hopefully next week I'll come back with some really uplifting, inspiring stories where AI is doing some really good stuff. If you are genuinely a lawyer and you're working in criminal law, I would love to hear from you, or if you know someone who's a friend of yours who works in criminal law who's really interesting and would be good for me to talk to, I'd love to interview someone like that on the podcast, so please connect me, and I'd love to talk to them about that whole thing I was just covering. So, cool, peace, see you later guys. Bye.